Praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles, either in written form or electronic form. Let's hold them up high and say it like we mean it. I believe the Bible is God's Word. Inerrant, infallible, inspired, authoritative, relevant. I will, by God's grace, obey it and apply it to my life today. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Wow, am I excited about the message today. I get excited, though, anytime I get to bring the Word of God. And I truly agree with Landon about witnessing to anyone and everyone, including cows. That was good. I'm going to have to go out this week and practice that. I understand there was a cow running around outside. Is that right? Well, I think better than that would be witnessing to the horses across the way, and then one of you could ride the horse in or something. That'd be fun. All right. Do you believe? That's the series. This morning's message is from John chapter 8. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles. We're going to be reading that in just a moment. The title today is The Truth Will Make You Free. Now, it's interesting. For years, usually about every other 4th of July, I bring a similar message to this. I use the same text that we happen to be meeting today in our series in the book of John, but it's entitled The Truth Will Make You Free, and it's one that is near and dear to my heart in this current age we're in. So you have your place in the Word of God. We're going to look at John 8, and we're going to look at verses 32 through 44. I know it's a long section to cover, but I think the way that this passage flows, I think we'll move through it a little bit more rapidly than it would appear with that many verses. Look, you follow along, and I'll read aloud. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let's pause there just for a second. Let me tell you what's going on. There were these dudes named Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees, and they were always trying to trip Jesus up. They were always trying to catch him in some faux pas, but they never could. He's the God-man. He's never made any mistakes. He never sinned, and they were sending lawyers at him. And anyway, so this is no exception. There's some scribes, there's some Pharisees, and probably some Sadducees. Religious leaders, phony followers of God. They're not followers of God at all. And he's interacting with them. So again, verse 32, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father, therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But if, as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, this Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and I have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I want to thank someone that replaced the battery in my light up here. I'll actually be able to see my notes today. Thank you very much. Listen, my heart's cry today is that where there needs to be challenge for us as followers of Christ, we receive that challenge. Where there needs to be maybe correction of some false teaching that's crept into our lives, that correction will happen. But also, I'm very sensitive of hurting. Some of you've come today and you have deep hurts and you have deep pain in your life right now. You're emotionally struggling through something. You're hurting. And it's my heart's cry in my prayer that through the Word of God today, through the Holy Spirit, that you're going to get comfort. Some of you are battling physical ailments. And I just know this, that Jesus Christ is the master physician and nothing's too hard. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. I want you to really believe that, that God loves you. Jesus is the God-man and he is Jehovah Rapha, our God that healeth. And so I pray that the Word, I know that the Word will not return null and void. I'm going to bring the Word this morning, and then I'm going to trust God to bring about the harvest, to bring about the fruit. And if you'll think about it, the Lord's growing us. The Lord is growing us spiritually and numerically. We have some homebound people. We have some people that follow us on our live stream, Facebook or YouTube, from our website. Maybe they'll listen to some of the messages. And they're being ministered to by what's being said. One couple that's out of state contacted me and told me, they said, the message on Jesus Christ being God and man was the most revolutionary message or sermon they had ever heard. And I just want you to know that that's what is so incredible about this series and about what we do here, whether we're talking about a life group taught by some very capable, competent teachers during the 9:15 hour or the pulpit being filled, what are we doing? We're bringing the Word of God. And the subject matter of the book of John, I think, is why there's such a positive response to it. The subject matter is Jesus. And 98 times, just to review, 98 times, John repeats the word believe. That the reason he's written this book, this fourth gospel, is he wants us to read it and he wants us to believe in Jesus. Not some pretend makeup kind of Jesus that, you know, of human opinion, and well, I think Jesus would be like this, but the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus like we will discover today, the Jesus that is not only an all-loving God, but is absolutely truth, and as we'll see, the way, the truth, and the life. All right, so on July 4th, we celebrate our independence, you know, or our freedom as a nation. And that freedom truly was gained at great cost. 56 courageous men signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, in the city of Philadelphia. Of the 56 men that signed that beautiful document, 5 were captured by the British before they died. 12 had their homes sacked, looted, or burned. 2 lost their sons in the war. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 died in the war from bullets or hardship. Freedom's a great thing. It is to celebrate. Unfortunately, and this is where this message turns and gets really near and dear to my heart. Unfortunately, there are some running for political office even right now, if they are elected, Yeah, I want you to make no mistake. There are some running for political office right now that if they're elected, they will undermine the very foundations of freedom that have made this nation the greatest nation on the planet. They will undermine it with their anti-Christian. Are you ready for this? And if you have anti-Christian policies as a politician, I'm going to say that is synonymous with being anti-American. You say, where do you get that, Pastor Jeff? I'll tell you where I get it. That our founding fathers, I would say the vast majority of them were born again Christians. Do you believe that? If you look at the original source documents, it will blow you away how unashamed they are about their Christian faith. This is one nation under. So let me say, we're under attack. Every good, decent American right now is under attack by a group that's controlled just by the same powers that were behind the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. And I'm going to tell you right now, what is behind these people is none other than Satan himself. And Jesus is going to bring this front and center in his conversation with these phony religious leaders. So Jesus Christ, the greatest patriot of humanity, he spoke of freedom in this biblical book of John, in this interchange between him and the Pharisees. And so what I want us to do is, I want us to discover how we can keep from losing our freedom as followers of Christ. Or more importantly, if you're here today and you've never experienced true freedom in Christ, that how you can become free, truly free, by accepting the truth giver, the truth himself, Jesus Christ. Okay, open your notes up to the inside, and I'm going to walk you through this text systematically. I have exegeted the text. In other words, I've gone through and I've systematically looked at the historical contextual background. I've looked at the Greek constructions, and from that, I've extracted these points. I am not reading these into the text, which would be eisegesis, but I'm taking them out of the text. So I just want you to know, I'm not making this stuff up. It's going to come directly from the text. You test and see if what I'm saying is true. Number one, how can a person experience true freedom? Knowing, receiving, and acting on the truth bring freedom. Go back to the words of Jesus in John 8:32. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Anybody wonder where I got my title for this morning's sermon? I am really good at plagiarizing the Bible. And as long as I'm your pastor, I'm going to plagiarize the Bible. And the Word of God says, Jesus Christ says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In the 1960s, now follow this with me. In the 1960s, back in that decade that I was born, it's been that long ago, so a little bit later than the covered wagons that David talks about. I've not been pastoring quite that long. But in the 1960s, 65% of Americans said they believed the Bible is true. Now, when I read that statistic, honestly, I would have thought it would have been higher back in the 60s. I understand you had the whole counterculture and all that, but I would have thought it had been higher. But back then, it was 65% said they believed the Bible was true. Today, that figure has dropped to 32%. I can't even wrap my mind. Less than a third of American citizens today, less than a third of them would say that the Bible is true. By implication, that means we've got a little over two-thirds of the beautiful people, American citizens in our country, that don't believe that the Word of God is true. Let's take it a little further. More dramatically, today 67% of all Americans deny that there's any such thing as truth. 70% say there's no moral absolutes. I want you to let that sink in for a second. 7 out of 10 people today say there are no moral absolutes. Well, I got a question for them. Are you absolutely certain that there are no moral absolutes? In other words, is that an absolute statement you're making? If there are no true moral absolutes, then how can I trust what you just said or your position? The bottom line is, Jesus said, you will know the truth. The truth will make you free. Here's what's happened, folks. Our country was founded as a nation under God. It was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Why do you think the lost, the left, the liberals, what that side, why do you think they're so passionate about keeping prayer out of school? Why do you think they're so passionate about yanking down 10 commandments that are in courthouses and in some of our public schools? Why? They want to do that because they want to remove any vestige of the Judeo-Christian foundation for our nation. Do you believe that? It's true. Now, let's get back to the sliding issue of what people view as truth or what you can know as truth and all of that. I believe the reason why, the number one reason why we've seen a drop from 65% believing that the Bible is true all the way down to 32%. I believe your number one reason is, and please, please, when I say this, don't misunderstand me, is public education. When we removed prayer from the public school, we said, God, you're not welcome in our training centers, in our education centers, our government education centers. God, you're not welcome. We removed God from school. What did we replace God with? We replaced God with a teaching of another God. You see, man is designed by God with a God-shaped vacuum. Man will fill the void with something. If you remove the one true God, the absolute truth of Jesus Christ and his word, man will fill it with something. We've replaced it with the God of secularism. And that, and ready? Secularism or the God of relativism. See, oh, that's your truth, but that's not my truth. Now, wait a second. There's either truth or it's not truth. It's not your truth, then I have my own truth, and so-and-so over there has a version of their own truth. Look at the book of Judges. Everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. We can't set ourselves up as the standard of what truth is. We have to evaluate whether something is true with the very definition of truth, which is Jesus himself. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So why is it that if truth frees, why do so many people live the lie and not receive the truth? Write down a key word for me. Denial. 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 They don't receive the truth because they are in a state of denial. You say, where do you get that? It's been around a long time. John 8:33. Look at it with me. Would you do that? They answered him, the scribes and the Pharisees answered Christ. They said, we are Abraham's descendants and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Do you understand? These are descendants of Abraham. They are Jews. What about 400 years of bondage in slavery in Egypt? And they said, we've never been in bondage or slavery to anyone. Well, what about currently when Jesus is relating to these dudes? They were enslaved to Rome. They're in a state of denial. They've gone over to that Middle Eastern area and they've just run as fast as they can and they've plunged in the river, the Nile. Denial. And what we're looking at here is that Jesus says, you guys are not receiving the truth because you're in a state of denial. The story is told of a young girl who accepted Christ as her Savior. She applied for membership in a local church. Were you a sinner before you received the Lord Jesus into your life? Inquired an old deacon. She was applying for membership, and so she was being interviewed by an old deacon. She said, "Yes, sir." Well, are you still a sinner? The deacon asked. She said, "To tell you the truth, I feel like I'm a greater sinner now than I ever was before." Then what real change have you experienced? The girl said, "I don't quite understand how to explain it," but she said, "Except I used to be a sinner running after sin. And now I'm saved, I'm a sinner running away from sin." Doesn't that describe us as believers? Before we were in Christ, before we embraced the truth of Christ, we were running headlong towards sin. We were at enmity. We were at warfare with God. She was received into the fellowship of the church, of course. Being enslaved to sin keeps others from accepting the truth. So you say, where do you get that? Look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the what to sin? It's a slave. It's a slave of sin." 1 Peter 5:8. "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." I want to share with you the good news. This is something I rejoice in all the time, because I get a little scared sometimes when I see Satan's fingerprints all over stuff. I do. I got to be honest. But we got to understand something. Satan's teeth were pulled. He's referred to this roaring lion. His teeth were pulled out with a rusty pair of pliers at the cross of Christ. Amen? He's making a lot of noise, but he has no authority over you, Christian. None. Zero. Nada. He used to before you were saved. He used to before your sins were forgiven. You were a slave to sin. Make a note in your notes. Romans chapter 6, it's the most powerful passage where the Apostle Paul is talking about breaking free from the bondage of sin, the slavery to sin. And he says in chapter 6 of Romans, he said, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And that very next Greek term there is meganoto, and it means, "Shall it never be?" No way, Jose. If you're truly born again, you can't continue in sin. Because if you go on and you look at that passage, the Apostle Paul is wanting us to know something, to consider something, and then to actively present something. By an act of our will, we present the totality of who we are to Christ for his service. Because he's not only our Savior, but he's our Lord, right? And Paul picks it up in Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is the Word of God, interpreting the Word of God. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren." He's talking generically. He includes cistern as well. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How was Christ able to say no to the temptations of Satan after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the desert? He's God, but hold on. You're absolutely right, he's God. But there's an even greater, not greater than that. That trumps them all. Thank you. He's God. Amen. Period. End of the story. We're not God. But that passage illustrates for us, as we surrender to the God-man, Jesus, we have the power to say no. You just blow you away 100% of the time to temptation. You realize that? You have authority 100% of the time to say no to Satan and yes to God. Now, is there any one of us in this congregation, is there any one of us around the world, followers of Christ, that does that perfectly 100% of the time? But make no mistake, we have the authority. We have the authority. Satan's teeth, the roaring lion, the teeth have been pulled out. He has no authority over you. You see, before you were saved, before I was saved, listen what would happen. Satan would come knocking on your heart's door, and he would throw a temptation at you, and you had no real power to say no. Now, don't raise your hand, but if you're battling addiction here today, this is truth for you. You have authority given to you by the God-man. The freedom from the God-man, the truth itself. You have the authority to overcome whatever your addiction is. This is something that's helped me over the years as I've battled my addiction to food. Some of you may battle drug addiction or alcohol addiction. Listen to me. This passage contains the truth from none other than Jesus Christ, the God-man himself, that will free you from addiction. You have authority. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. We have to walk in that. Otherwise, we walk around with our heads down and defeated. And the Lord, John 10:10, I came, Jesus said, that you may have life and that you may have it more depressingly. Is that what it says? What does it say? Abundantly. That's the truth. So why is it that the truth frees, but so many don't receive the truth? Denial, number one, the Egyptian river. No, it's that state of denial. Number two, being enslaved to sin keeps others from accepting the truth. And Jesus says, when you commit sin as an ongoing practice, you become a slave to that. He's that roaring lion. Elizabeth Keckley was a slave in Missouri before the Civil War. Her greatest desire was for her and for her son to be delivered from slavery, to be freed. So she talked to her owner. Isn't that just so offensive to use the terminology, her owner? She talked to her owner and said, what will it take? How much money do I need to pay you for freedom for me and my son? He said, $1,200. It's a lot of money. A lot of money today, but it was really a lot of money back then. So she hatched a plan. She was a seamstress, and she said to her slave owner, she said, I'd like to go to New York, and I can make more money there, and then I will pay you that $1,200. Her slave owner feared that she would never come back, so he said, no, you can't go. Some of the people in the area that she did seamstress work for knew her plight, knew what she was trying to do, some of her affluent clients, and they raised the $1,200, and she was able to buy her freedom completely for herself and for her son. I want you to think, the reason why I'm giving that slavery illustration, even though we're 150, 160 years from that point, is Jesus uses the terminology that if you commit sin as an ongoing thing, you're enslaved to sin. And that's why I'm using that slavery example. And so it got me to thinking, there was no real practical way that Mrs. Keckley could buy her freedom for herself and her son. $1,200, impossible. She needed help. I was thinking about it. Every one of us before Christ, we had as our master, our slave owner. You got to understand this. We were all enslaved to sin, every one of us before Christ. And now, with the help of Christ, or shall I say, with the complete, absolute intervention of Almighty God, the God-man Jesus, through the cross, We have freedom. We have freedom from sin. But so many won't accept the truth, which would free them. Now, this is going to blow you away. Do you remember our study in 1 John? How many of you were here for 1 John when I did that series? Listen, this blew me away when I studied it. Major reason people don't accept Jesus Christ, the truth giver, the definition of truth as their Lord and Savior, is they like their sin. Do you believe that's biblical? A fair understanding of what John was talking, the Apostle John was talking about in 1 John? Jesus is even touching on it here in John 8. They love their sin. 1 Peter 5:8. We got to be alert. We got to be sober. Turn to the last page in your notes. Some of you are kind of checking your pulse, making sure that you're not going into a coronary arrest. You realize that we're on the last page of notes, and it's only 11:24. Don't get used to it. Why is it? The third reason why people don't accept the truth giver and experience freedom is Satan's deception. Satan's deception hinders many from knowing the truth. John 8, 43 and 44 says, Jesus said, "Why do you not understand what I'm saying?" By the way, how many of you ever feel like that when you're talking to an unbeliever about spiritually discerning things? Have you ever felt like asking them, "Why don't you understand what I'm saying?" Okay, we're going to get to that. It's right here in this point, why they don't understand what you're saying about the Lord. It is because you cannot hear my word. This is brutal. I mean, I wish I could have been there when Jesus was talking with these puffed up toads, the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the phonies. He said, "You are of your father, the devil." That's pretty harsh. It's true. He says, "You're of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father." He was a what? A murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and he is the father of what? The father of lies. Folks, Satan sugarcoats arsenic. Satan hates you. Satan hates your children. Satan hates your grandchildren. Satan seeks to destroy. There's a series of passages listed there. And of course, we know about Genesis 3, 1 through 6. That's the great first recorded temptation where Satan takes on the form of a serpent and he tempts Eve to take of the forbidden fruit. No, the Bible does not say it was an apple, but it was just forbidden. It was on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said of every tree you can eat, but not that tree. He gave man free will. Eve was deceived. Adam willingly gave in and took as well. What did Satan do there? Liar, liar, pants on fire. He was a master at mixing little elements of truth. And most of it, though, was a lie, right? And then you look at 1 John 2:15 through 17. I quoted that last week. It says, "Love not the world." That's the world system. We're to love the people of the world, right? But love not the world system, neither the things in the world. All that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. What he's saying there, John the apostle, same one writing this gospel under the inspiration of God, he's saying all those things are originating from Satan. All those things are originating from Satan in the flesh. And 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "The God of this age is blinding the eyes of them that are perishing." God, by the way, there would be small g. It's referring to whom? It's referring to Satan. It's not referring to the one true God. It's referring to the false God, small g, Satan. He's blinding the eyes of them that are perishing. 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15. Do you realize Satan appears as a minister, an angel of light? Why? To deceive. You just look at it And Satan is a liar. And basically, he keeps saying to them, Jesus keeps saying to these religious leaders, why are you trying to kill me? They first tried to silence him. That didn't work. So then what'd they do? They kept trying to set him up to kill him. Like, for instance, if he would blaspheme, then they would see that as an excuse to kill him. As we saw in Acts, the book of Acts, the first Christian martyr was put to death under false blasphemy charges. That's what they were trying to do to Jesus. They were trying to kill him. And they were lying about him. And they were obfuscating the truth, if you will. And why? Because their father, the devil, was a liar. Why were they trying to kill him? He's saying, Jesus is saying, because their father was a murderer from the beginning. So they're just doing what their father tells them to do. So, please listen to me. Do not direct, Christian, do not direct your holy disgust towards an increasingly perverse society. Do not direct your holy disgust, your holy anger, if you will, toward people. Always remind yourself that what we stand against is never people. We always are for people, but we are against the evil, 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 lying, murdering devil that's behind those lost people that are promoting these wicked, vile things. You see the difference? We, the true Christians, are lovers, not haters. The only thing we hate is wickedness and unrighteousness. And may I say, I hate the devil. And I hate cancer, as I said last week when we prayed for our sister for healing. And so what I'm saying is we got to be spiritually discerning. We've got to be sober. Look at the last few points as we wrap it up. If you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, what is the truth? Jesus. Write the word Jesus in your notes. Put it in all bold. Put it in caps. Jesus is the very definition of truth. That's how we know what truth is. He's the standard. It's not what I feel like. Well, I just feel like the truth is, you know. Well, that's nice, but we kind of would all have our own feelings about what truth is. And then the very next day, I may feel a little bit differently. If you know the truth and the truth will set you free, what is the truth? Jesus. Look at John 14:6 in your notes. Jesus said, I'm the way and I am the truth and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Will you know? Will you receive? Will you act on the truth? That's what happens in this book. That's why I entitled the series, Do You Believe? Because if you believe, then it's going to change your life. So watch. If you don't know the Lord, you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, here's the truth. The truth is you're headed for hell. I don't know how else to say it. It seems so harsh. I mean, when you read the Gospels and Jesus is talking constantly about hell, you're like, wow, that's heavy. Well, the truth is, if you die in your sins, if I die in my sins, I'm going to be separated from God for all eternity. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you believe that? Say amen. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of our sin is death. It's spiritual separation from God for all eternity. But then the next part of that verse in 6:23, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Remember, he's the way, the truth, and the life. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then Romans 10:13, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you're here today or you're watching this on YouTube or live Facebook live stream and you're hearing this truth, listen, God loves you. That's the truth. God loves you and he wants a relationship with you and he's not willing that any should perish, but should all should come to repentance. Now to the Christians in the room, if you're a follower of Christ, raise up high your hands. Okay, so I'm a follower of Christ. Well, if you know the truth, the question I have for you is, are you hoarding it? When's the last time you witnessed to a cow out there? I'm being facetious about that, and so was Landon, but the reality is, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and the truth is, God loves everybody. But not all dogs are going to go to heaven. If you're going to be a dog like me and you want to go to heaven, you got to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life. But for Christians, we know this. Are we hoarding the greatest truth? I was thinking about this, truth greater than the cure for cancer. Wouldn't it be phenomenal if one of you, a passionate follower of Jesus Christ, went into biomedical research and you discovered the cure for cancer? I mean, can anybody get excited about that? Can you imagine discovering the cure for cancer and then you just sit on it and you don't tell anybody? Shame on you. If I had the cure for cancer, my wife's a breast cancer survivor. I promise you, it would be this way. I would say, believe in Jesus. And I got the cure for cancer. You do the same thing, I know, but we have something greater than the cure for cancer. We have something, okay, more current. How many of you enjoyed in our prayer circle this morning? I said, we're going to do a coronavirus prayer circle, and we touched elbows. And then after that, about 10 of you hugged me, and I loved every minute of it. Here's the bottom line. What if you came up with the vaccine, not 12 to 18 months from now, but you came up with the vaccine for the coronavirus and it could save people around the world? Wouldn't that be great? You wouldn't hoard it. You wouldn't keep it to yourself. You'd share it. I know you would. You got something, Christian. You got a truth greater than the cure for cancer, the cure for the coronavirus, the cure for AIDS. Just mention something. You got the greatest cure of all times, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And you have the truth, Christian, and you can set people free. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. So, Lord Jesus, Move in our midst. Move, stir in our hearts, Lord, for those of us that name your name. We are your children. We are your followers. Fill our hearts to overflowing with a love for you and for fellow humanity, fellow human beings created in your image. You love everyone on this planet, and you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Fill our hearts to overflowing, Jesus Christ. Give us a passion and a burden. Thank you. I've begun to see your spirit working in our church and people beginning to reach out with the life-giving message of truth. That you, Jesus Christ, are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through you. And people are getting saved, and we're going to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to teach them, Jesus, all things that you've commanded, because we embrace your promise that, lo, you are with us always, even to the end of the age. Embolden us, Lord. Help us overcome through your Holy Spirit the fear of rejection, the fear of failure. Just overcome fear. Thanks for giving us authority over our enemy, Satan, through you, Jesus Christ. If you're here today with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know for sure that all your sins are forgiven, you don't know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. Maybe you're watching this YouTube, Facebook live stream, and you don't know for sure that all your sins are forgiven, or you don't know for sure if you die today, you'd go to heaven. We here at Stepping Stones Church in McKinney, we're asking you, will you accept the truth, Jesus Christ, into your life? He loves you so much. So here's the gospel story. All of us are sinners. All of us in humanity have blown it. We've messed up. We have committed not one sin, but many sins. and our sin separates us from God Almighty. God does not want us separated from Him. And so He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life. He accomplished in His 33 years of life something we could never do. None of us could do. He never sinned. And then He gave His life on the cross, suffered and died to pay for our sins. And He rose again the third day victorious over death. And He's offering you forgiveness and eternal life. Will you accept Him today? I'm asking you here in this room with heads bowed, eyes closed, or our listening audience, viewing audience. Will you receive Christ right now? If you want to, I want you to pray a prayer of faith. If you mean it, pray it, mean it. Say something like this: Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know my sin separates me from You. I know You love me. And I want to accept Your forgiveness right now. I want to accept Your free gift of eternal life. I'm trusting in You alone, Jesus. Save me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you just prayed that prayer of faith and you meant it, you meant it between you and God, your Creator, right now, slip up your hand right where you sit. Raise your hand up high. We want to pray for you. God bless you on the back row. Praise God. Anybody else? Receive Christ today as Savior and Lord. If you have done this, you've prayed to receive Christ, that prayer of faith, and you meant it while viewing this on YouTube or Facebook live stream or from our website, contact us. We want to give you a free gift that will help you grow in your newfound faith. One more moment. My fellow Christians, would you new and afresh today, just recommit to faithfully carrying out those great commandments and the Great Commission, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself, and then sharing with everybody that you come in contact with Jesus Christ and His love and His forgiveness. Thank You, Lord God, for moving. Thank You for Your word. Now, Lord God, I pray that as we have a brief come forward invitation, that this altar will fill up for Your glory and for Your honor. It's in the peerless and matchless name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.